Hey there, everybody. Okay. This is Logan Olson, and serving for Ben tonight is Dez Dolly.
Hello.
And tonight our guest is...
Brian Collins.
And this is To the Future.
To the Future.
I really hope instead of the normal intro, somebody went through the trouble of actually making a spooky intro with an organ instead of the guitar.
Do you have time to do that?
Maybe Freddie does. But
I'll ask.
Hey, Freddie.
I'll ask.
Do you have some time to do a spooky intro
no
for
promises.
Everybody?
I'm not promising anything.
We could do the entire show in bad Vincent Price impressions.
Yeah, there you go. Or Boris Karloff. Yeah. Is that a guy?
That is a guy.
Yeah.
He's most famous for his non-speaking role.
So, Brian, there's only one rule here on the To the Future podcast, and it's, it's not a rule, it's a suggestion, really. but we try to raise our hands before we talk so that other people shut up for you. I like that I choose to do that on the air rather than off the air every time.
Yeah.
I like to think it's a little window into the behind the scenes of To the Future. But anyways, yes, Brian.
I like it too.
Thanks, dude. So, Brian, tell us a little about yourself. What are you an expert in, dude?
I guess horror, because, I've been watching horror movies since I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I've kind of made it my thing, I guess. I do a lot of writing on the web, like Badass Digest, and I have my own side horror movie a day for 6 years, and I also do a little writing for Fangoria. So, that's kind of like my bread and butter, I guess.
So I got a lot of questions. Really quick, so do you actually still watch a horror movie a day?
No, I quit the daily thing in March of this year after 6 years and a month, 2,500 movies in a row.
So how did that affect you to watch a horror movie every single day?
The hardest part was actually right at the beginning. Like, that was like when I was still getting used to it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there would be a lot of days where it would be like 11:30, and be like, oh shit, I still haven't watched my horror movie. Excuse me. And the one time I ever missed a movie was like a week after I started. But like after a while, it just came like second nature. It was just part of my day, you know? So the hardest part towards the end was the writing, because I felt like I kind of said everything, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of the movies are kind of the same, and I was just like, I've already said this. So, towards the end, it was like, you can see, like, in the reviews, like, I'm kind of, like, not really phoning them in, but, like, you can just sense, like, the lethargy, you know? Like, it's just like, yeah, I could see why he doesn't want much to say about this movie, you know? So, that was kind of tough, because, like, you know, I sit there and write something that, like, you know, sucks, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what prompted this exercise in the first place?
I was telling those guys before, this is 2007, before Netflix Instant existed, and so it was just the discs, and I'd rented, three discs, and they were horror movies, and I'd had them for 4 months and hadn't watched them.
Do you remember which three?
I can't.
Those were?
One of them had to have been Return to Horror High, because that was the very first movie I watched. So I can't remember what the other two were, but probably reviews number 2 and 3. So I was just like, well, you know, like, I could do this. I could have watched these movies by now. There's no reason I couldn't have found time to watch 3 movies. And I was like, well, I could actually probably watch one every day. I'm like, let's try this. And so first it was just watching the movies. And then after about a month, because I was seeing newer movies too. And like, I was writing for Bloody Disgusting at the time. And I'd do a review for that movie, you know, like, what was it? Like, The Messengers and Hannibal Rising and I'm trying to remember some of the Zodiac. So I was writing reviews of those anyway. I was just like, well, maybe I'll just start writing a couple thoughts on these, like, smaller movies that I'm watching, too. And after, like, probably about a month or so, I got the blog spot and the blog, you know, blogger.com site, and just started doing it every day.
So what were your... Do you feel like you have key learnings from this? Like, when it's all said and done, I'm sure you, like, had small takeaways throughout the years you were doing this. Matt's, like, sneaking
around.
Hold on,
we're not going to ignore Matt Arnold just walked in.
He tried to do a little shush, but that's not going to work.
Tippy toes.
But were there, like, what were your takeaways? Like, when it's all said and done, do you, like, have, like, a top three lessons learned or, like... top three things you've observed or realized?
All right. Well, number one, and this is more recently because I really started with Paranormal Activity now that everybody's doing these goddamn found footage movies. Mm-hmm. Found footage is not an easy thing to do. It seems easy. You're like, yeah, we just grab cameras and run around a, you know, an abandoned hospital or whatever, the woods. No. Like, you really, I mean, I think in some ways it's actually more difficult to do right than a real traditional movie. Because mm-hmm. you have to constantly think that the camera is a character in your movie. It's somebody, it's one of the people that are in danger. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they shouldn't be filming, like, a zombie attacking their friend like this.
Just standing there.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've seen it so many times. It's just mm-hmm. like, why are you standing there filming your friend dying? Mm-hmm. Like, your two options should be... help your friend, like drop the fucking camera, run over and be like, hey, you know, push the zombie, or two, run the fuck away. And it's just like
drop the camera should be the first thing you do.
But every, because there's a meet me halfway thing here. Like we know that even the best found footage movie, which is probably Blair Witch Project, there's moments where it's like, okay, they probably wouldn't be filming that. But we'll go so far with the suspension of disbelief. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like these guys, a lot of these ones I'm seeing, they just go entirely to the fact that it's like you can almost forget that you're supposed to be seeing somebody's point of view in the proceedings, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was the number one thing. Like really, I can't even watch these movies anymore. I'm just so tired of them all. Number two, there are more Children of the Corn movies than you realize.
How many?
I lost count. Seven. There's at least nine. There's at least nine of them.
Yeah, I thought there were four.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's see, three. Let's see, what would three be? Horror movie doesn't have to be scary to be good.
Like what?
Like I was saying, the Saw movies. I think those are really cool movies. There's a really great like mythology to them. Like you really have to like dive in and like follow them all. It's not just like watching a guy get like stuck in a machine and get his head ripped off or whatever. Like this like really complicated like overarching story to the whole thing. But they're never scary for a second. But I don't think that makes them bad horror movies. And so like, you know, don't be afraid. I think a lot of filmmakers equate like the number of deaths to the success of their horror movie, and I think that that's wrong. I think that the story can still come first, even when you're dealing with a genre that, by design, is more about the gimmick, more about like let's get them scared, you know.
So, what makes a good horror movie?
A good final girl.
John Carpenter. No.
Yeah. Right.
John Carpenter makes a good horror movie.
Yeah.
Or what do you look for in it? When you're watching a horror movie, like, do you have like the things you're looking for or the things you're using
definitely,
as a barometer of success?
Yeah, likable characters. I think there's a weird tendency, especially in modern stuff, that like, let's do throwback. Let's do like something like the old Friday the 13th movies. And they have this like weird like mental image that the old Friday the 13th movies were like that the characters were all assholes.
Yeah.
And they weren't. Like they're like, I just watched a couple of them last week when it was Friday the 13th, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. And like they're pretty likable kids, mm-hmm. but not so much that you're like depressed when they die, you know, because obviously it's a slasher movie. Slasher movie doesn't exist unless like most of the cast is dead by the end, you know. But there's no reason to make them such hateful jerks. And I see that in a lot of modern horror movies. I'm just like, I hate these guys. I don't want them to live. And you shouldn't be rooting for the villain. Like you can like him, you can want like your action figure of him or your poster even or whatever. But I don't think at any point you should be actively rooting for Freddy, for Jason, for Michael Myers, you know? Like you should want the final girl, like you were saying, the final girl. Like that's important. Like having somebody that you can identify with, but not so like some are too saintly. You know, you shouldn't be able to spot the final girl right off the top. You know what I mean? Like, if you existed in a bubble and you watch Halloween for the first time now, I don't think, like, you'd automatically be like, Laurie Strode's the winner here. Because, mm-hmm. like, there's so much of that movie that focuses on her friend Annie for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, to the point where it's like he seems more interested in her than Laurie, you know? So it's just like... And then some of the other, especially actually, even better example would be the first Friday the 13th. Like, I don't think you watching that and be like, yep, it's Alice. Like, she's going to win. Everybody else is dead. Like, you know, they do a good job of balancing that out.
Almost now, though, that's become this overly formulaic cliche in a lot of horror movies where there's the focus on the red herring final girl, who is then killed off 15 minutes into the story. you know, you hear on the commentaries, like, well, it's really inspired by Psycho. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, I know. So has everyone else over the last 25 years.
Yeah.
So you do have to watch out for stuff like that.
Which one actually that did pretty well was the Friday the 13th remake, which I don't think is a great movie, but...
I do think that also suffers from, which is typical of many of those Platinum Dunes horror movies, yeah, the very despicable crew of asshole teenagers.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And they're way too good looking now. Like, they don't get, like,
the most attractive
looking
people you can find. Yeah.
But they actually, I thought they did a pretty good job of, like, having two final girls. Like, you weren't sure. Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to save his sister? Is he going to save his sister? Or is he going to save the love interest? Yeah, you know? Yeah. So, like, that worked, mm-hmm, I thought.
Do you have a set of horror classifications now? Is it like, well, there's the slasher, there's the drowner, there's the...
The drowner?
What's a drowner? I haven't seen enough of those.
Which drowner movie is that?
Noah's Ark.
And the Christian Slater movie, Hard Rain. That's it. There's the slasher, there's a ghost movie. There's sort of like a general... I tagged them all because it was... It was easy because I know some people are just like, oh, I want to find a good haunted house movie. Like, I get this on Twitter all the time. It drives me insane. Like, people are just like, hey, man, I'm at home. It's Friday. Like, what's a good horror movie to watch? Like,
so
I don't know what you've seen. Like,
let's tell this once and for all. Top five. If I'm going to watch five movies.
And you've never seen any?
This October.
No, okay. Let's go. Yeah, you fuck it. Yeah, let's do. What's the movie, dude?
Halloween. Obviously.
I'm Wyatt Earp. I've time traveled to modern times. I would like to watch the most terrible.
Wyatt Earp is clearly into horror movies. He's really into horror.
Well, first I tell him to watch Tombstone instead of the one that was actually called Wyatt
Earp. What have I done? No!
Okay, well, my favorite movie of all time is Halloween. John Carpenter's Halloween. But for October, I mean, that one, Kurt, but I mean, there's certain movies I love, like Dawn of the Dead, but I don't really feel that's an October horror movie. Mm-hmm. That's just like gory and fun. And in October, I like to stick to the spookier stuff. So I'd say The Haunting, the 60s one, not the remake with Owen Wilson. Mm-hmm. I just rewatched House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price. I think that movie's so fun. Like, it's...
was it like 1958,
59? Yeah. I mean, part of the fun too is like seeing it with a crowd. Like, there were some of those older movies, you know, like the William Castle stuff, where like they have the Tingler and Emerjo, which was the skeleton floating around. I'm looking at that plastic skeleton, so I'm thinking of it. This time of year, like if you have a good local repertory theater and you can get one of those old 50s screenings, like or the old Hammer movies or even Universals if they have them, like, definitely go see it. Like, they're not the greatest movies, I think, but you'll have so much fun watching those old ones. Yeah. Newer stuff, Trick or Treat is a must. Mike Daugherty's anthology movie.
Film. That's a good one.
So good, and Warner just completely screwed up, buried it, and then just kind of like dumped it on like two screens. But as far as Halloween atmosphere, it's better than Carpenter's Halloween, I think. I mean, he every inch of that movie is just like drenched in that holiday. You know, it's like the perfect Halloween movie. And The Fog, John Carpenter's The Fog is another great one. It's a spooky ghost story. A lot of fun. Yeah.
You know, I've actually never seen The Haunting, House on Haunted Hill, the 58 edition, or The Fog by John Carpenter.
Oh, so you are a Carpenter fan.
I love, actually, you're probably not going to like this. I like They Live.
They Live a lot. Mouth Madness is really good, too. But I think They Live was, like, the end of his, like, hit streak. Because, like, every movie he made from, like, his first all the way up to They Live is fucking good. Mm-hmm. Like, and then it started getting kind
of
hit or miss.
You get, like, The Prince of Mars or whatever.
Oh, Ghost of Mars, yeah.
Prince of Mars.
Prince of Mars might have been better.
That would be great. Well,
Prince of Darkness is great.
Prince of Darkness.
I mean, The Princess of Mars is, was it John Carter?
John Carter, yeah.
Yeah, so we did make that movie. Whoa. It just wasn't John Carter. What if John Carpenter made it, though? That
John
Carpenter's
great, Prince of Mars.
Like a hard-boiled John Carter.
I'm all for that. Yeah, you get Carpenter back.
I love that. So have you noticed does your favorite horror movie... I'm going to open this up to the floor to both of you guys.
Okay.
Favorite horror movie? Just one. You get one. One.
Mine is also Halloween.
Oh, shit. Should I change my answer?
No. And no, absolutely not. It's okay like the same horror movie.
Was it different in the past? Wait, did you actually...
When I was
like
younger, I actually thought Halloween was boring. When I was like eight and I saw it, and I was like, oh, this is like,
and then
this is
what did,
like
what
four
you, and then what did you actually prefer?
I was way into... When I was younger, I really liked Jason more than Michael.
How
so,
come?
I'd seen them more. There was more of my... I hadn't seen Halloween until I think I'd already seen most of the Friday the 13th. So Friday the 13th, 4 and 6, mm-hmm. which still I think are like the best two of that series.
4 and 6?
Yeah.
Those are great. I actually, I just got, I know you had some very negative things to say about the new Blu-ray box set. I didn't own any of them, so I figured what the hell.
If you don't own any of them, it's good.
And most of which I had not seen. So 2 weeks ago, I plowed through the entire Friday the 13th franchise and had an absolute blast. There are some definite highlights. I agree. 4 and 6. 6 is my favorite.
Yeah, 6 is so fun.
6 has a really good sense of humor to it. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of energy.
What was the worst one, do you think?
I think it was, is it 9? Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
What was your favorite kill?
My favorite kill, most people would
say... Don't
say
which one it is, so it's or else it's a spoiler alert, dude. But if you don't say which one it is, it'll still shock
I'm going to say it. It's most people would say the sleeping bag. I know that's what Kane Hodder would say, sleeping bag.
What's the sleeping bag?
He drags a girl out of her tent in a sleeping bag and picks her up by her feet and smacks her against a tree.
And then what?
And just drops her. He smacks her so hard her head explodes, basically.
Do you see blood?
No. No, you don't.
See, that was part 7. Part 7 was the most... sort of mangled by the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association.
Which is too bad, because that one had a really masterful makeup special effects artist.
So originally, he actually hit her like 10 times on the tree, and it was pretty bloody, but like the MPAA kept cutting it, so it was like 10 whacks, like no, and then it was like 7 whacks, like no, like 3 whacks, and then now it's just 1, and I don't think you see any blood in that entire movie.
No, my favorite kill in that movie that isn't shown is when Jason squishes the guy's head down to the size of a softball.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty great.
With his hands?
Yeah, with his hands. But my favorite kill is in, it's also part 6, where he's in an RV bathroom while it's careening down like a forest highway.
Like there's just a bunch of campers in an RV. And
there's a camper driving this girl's boyfriend is driving. He's just kind of hot running, not paying attention, just being like,
"Woo-hoo." He's going to the bathroom
his girlfriend's in the bathroom. Oh, okay. Jason's in the bathroom
why
as well.
Is he in the bathroom?
He's killing people. He's got a body count to rack up.
So he had to hide in there?
Yeah, I guess. But he grabs the back of her head and he smashes her face into the plastic RV wall, and the camera cuts to the other side of the wall and just the imprint of her face just pops through it. So like, probably inspired like by like the like Friday the 13th.
Like a Looney Tunes thing?
Or the sort of.
Did it make a funny sound effect? Like,
you can tell it was inspired by some of the more like surrealist kills in the Nightmare.
Yeah, the more
franchise.
Surrealist the kill, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like Melting Clock Kill. Great kill. Melting Clock Kill, yeah.
Melting Clock?
Yeah, the Burning Giraffe one where he's made of drawers. I'm just referencing Dali paintings now.
I don't know. What's your favorite Jason kill?
Let's see. I've always really liked in Manhattan when he punched the dude's head off. Because this dude just
that's,
like...
You know what? It's all about the buildup in that scene.
Wait, really just, quickly. There's a Friday the 13th that takes place in Manhattan?
Yes.
Well...
No.
And most of it takes place on a boat, and then most of Manhattan was actually shot in Vancouver. But there is one scene...
They shot 2 days in Manhattan.
Times Square. So you see Jason Times Square. But there's a part... They both end up on a roof somehow, and this guy... He's been previously established as a really good boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And... for whatever reason, like he starts boxing Jason, and Jason just takes it, and this guy's just pounding
takes
the shit.
Takes it. The guy's pounding
punch
him.
Punch it. His
steps closer and closer
bloody.
To the edge of the.
And
roof.
He makes it. And Jason like plays him. And you think he's winning. Like Jason just keeps backing up closer to the edge, and then the guy's just so exhausted. He's like swinging. He can't even hit anymore. And then he's like, "All right, motherfucker, take your best shot." And Jason just. And punches the guy's head right off. The head flies. There's a POV from the guy's head as it rotates down, lands in a dumpster, and the dumpster closes on it.
That is like, a great kill.
Which one was that?
This is part 8. Jason
part 8,
takes
Manhattan.
It's literally called part 8, Manhattan.
No, Friday the 13th, part 8, Jason takes Manhattan.
That sounds like they're really pulling for straws at that point.
And then Jason X also, the Cairo kill, which is...
that's a good
Jason
one.
Jason X is in space. And Jason wakes up in space and he instantly knows how liquid nitrogen works and he just dumps his girl's head in it and then pulls her out and smashes her face on the counter.
All right.
There you have it.
So you get your homework
there. You have
there.
It. So guys.
Yeah.
This is going to be a personal. So we're to the future here, so we're going to jump to the future now.
Right. Okay.
What do you guys think of all the movies that exist currently will be your favorite horror movie in the future?
I think I'll still like Cabin in the Woods a lot. I can't see me. I can't. I mean,
no, your favorite though. Like when you're 70, and you're like, man.
When I'm 70,
I'm ready to be spooked.
I'll still be showing all the grandkids and great grandkids The Thing.
Oh yeah,
I think that's definitely.
So you think you'll have children then?
I would okay. like to. Yeah. All right. But that's a separate conversation. That's a separate podcast.
Future of Dez. Dez's future.
I guess. No, but the thing is, like, guys who aren't entirely familiar with the genre and don't have a lot of experience under their belt.
Yeah.
That's my first film. Yeah. That's the one I always pull out.
What was it again? I wasn't paying attention. Thing. Okay.
Carpenter.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. If you dislike The Thing, there's something wrong with you. I think.
Like, I don't think we would. Yeah. We can't. We won't get along. Yeah. We won't be.
It's all right.
Giddy, you're trolling now.
How about you, dude?
I'd probably still love Halloween. The Thing, Dawn of the Dead. I mean, I'm really setting my ways. Like, it takes a lot for me to like be like, this is my favorite movie. You know what I mean? Like, I think it has to have that sort of, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, Cabin in the Woods, I think, will probably creep in there someday.
I'm trying to, while you guys are talking, I'm trying to remember what all the old people in my life like were freaked out about when like
The Exorcist,
Body Snatchers, The Fram. Yeah. I mean, even you're like, I remember my mom was like, Universal Frankenstein. You watch it, it's like, I mean, it's a great movie, but I don't think it's particularly.
You know
scary.
What? Yeah, when I talk to my parents, my dad always brings up The Wolfman. Wolfman was the scariest movies he saw when he was a kid.
I was actually thinking of more like Click or Jack. Click. Like, where it's like, oh, I'm old.
The entire Sandler catalog. I'm
just like old people. Like, they get really freaked out about movies where it's about old people like losing their memories or like falling asleep for too long. Like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what's that scary movie about old people being old? There needs to be more, like, there needs to be, like, an old people horror genre where it's just for old people, like,
Cocoon.
Like, made by old people for old people horror, right? Where it's just like, oh, no, he's stopping to breathe, like, while he's sleeping, or like, oh, no, like, like, the dentures, they went backwards, not forwards.
He's
like,
choking.
He's choking, and all the young people are playing Nintendo or something.
Oh, yeah, Bubba Hotep.
Bubba Hotep,
that's true. Yeah, that's a good one. But if I feel like that's too quirky for old people, like, they just need a good old-fashioned, like... Like old people being old, and then they
like
die
because
they're old.
Ambulance clickers run out of juice. I'm stuck on the floor, and no one will help me.
Except, but all these young people come in, they start laughing at them, and they go, "You old!" Terrifying.
That does
people.
Sound terrifying.
I should make old people movies.
That would be a unique career
that,
move.
I've shown that. That SNL skit with Sam Waterston with the Old Glory.
The robot insurance. Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Robots need old people's medicine for fuel.
Because they're big and they have strong claws. So, guys, what have you noticed any horror trends over the last 10 years? Like
Found footage. Yeah. Like we were talking about.
I think
Home Invasion is another one right now.
Home Invasion is kind of coming up, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're done with the sort of tortury stuff. I think that's pretty much on its way out.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Yeah.
If I could, if I may, I think Eli Roth's Green Inferno. Yeah. I'm kind of hoping. I don't know if it will, but I'm hoping that inspires a whole...
What's Green Inferno?
Green Inferno is his cannibalism movie.
About green cannibals?
No, I don't know where he gets the title. Brian, I believe you've seen it, right?
Green Inferno, sort of like an in-joke. It was the original title of one of the old cannibal movies. I'm forgetting which one right now.
One of the old, Italian.
Riato or Umberto Lenzi, one of theirs.
So we're talking about Cannibal Holocaust or
Cannibal Ferox. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Green Inferno. It's really good, but what I really liked about it is that it's not trying to outdo those older ones. Mm-hmm. It's trying to bring those movies, like, I mean, the end credits actually has a list of the movies you should go check out
see,
after.
See, that's what I'm saying. See, I haven't seen it yet, but that's what I've been hearing is that he's sort of trying to rekindle this love
and
for this type of subgenre of horror.
I had a friend who, he liked the movie, but he was kind of disappointed that it didn't really go over the top. He's like, mm-hmm. I wanted it to be gory. I wanted it to be nastier. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but... Think about it. Like, that's our generation. Like, we're a little older now. Like, the kids that are going to go see this, 18, 19 year olds, probably haven't seen Cannibal Holocaust.
Right.
Probably haven't seen Cannibal Ferox. They haven't even heard of it, mm-hmm. let alone seen it. Do you really want, like, somebody going back to Cannibal Holocaust and be like, it's kind of tame, man? Like, I'm like, no, man. Like, he's got to be the bottom one. So that way, like, Cannibal Holocaust will still shock them the way it shocked us. Because that's not a pleasant movie. I mean, I like it, but I don't want to ever watch it.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
once is enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, that poor turtle.
I don't know if it's a good thing to have this whole spur of new cannibalism movies, but it would amuse me to no end if that were a thing.
I was actually surprised. I really thought after Cloverfield did really well. I really thought we'd see a lot more monster movies, and we're just not. I mean, like the one, like the sound like Pacific Rim, but that's not really a horror movie. That's like a full on action.
There's the new Godzilla.
Godzilla, yeah. I mean, hopefully that'll, because I want to see, like, apart from like the sci-fi shark movies, you know, like I want to see like monster movies, like The Host. The Host is amazing.
That's a great movie.
And I'm not talking about Stephanie Meyer, The Host. I'm talking about like the Korean film, which I think had a sequel.
It did. Yeah, not the same. Yeah, I don't believe it was the same filmmaker.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So I'd love to see more stuff like that, like in that, you know, old school, like Jaws, and even like something like crazy, like Day of the Animals, you know, where it's just like the entire forest is all nuts, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I miss those sort of killing.
What's Day of the Animals?
Day of the Animals is a 70s movie where there's like a killer bear, there's a killer cougar, there's like a little bit of everything. There's a couple of 70s ones. Frogs is another one where you think it would just be frogs, but like there's wasps, there's I think like a squirrel or something. Like it's just like there are all these like movies that are like nature striking back kind of thing.
So that's
And I wouldn't mind seeing that actually. I mean, that you could even play with that now. There was one actually, I found footage one, of course, called The Bay. Last year
I saw The Bay. Sonnenfeld, right?
Barry Levinson,
that's right. Different Barry.
Like they kill horses?
No, it's like they kill, it was mutated fish. Like the toxic, there was a company that was dumping into the water supply, and the fish that got infected, and they were biting people, and like that was causing the same plague.
Like they're like cute goldfish?
No.
No,
they're scary looking.
Like no, they were like chicken farms, you know, like McDonald's has all these chicken farms, and they were dumping tons of chicken feces into the bay.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
And it was mutating these parasites that feed on the fish, and then I believe the parasites that were biting the people and using the people as hosts, and it became like this sort of like viral outbreak.
Yeah. It's like a thing that happens. Like this thing happens.
Yeah. There's like a thing.
It's like a thing.
There's a thing and another
happens.
Thing.
Yeah.
See, to me, no one will probably agree with me. This is, I guarantee, a strange reading of this film. But Gravity was
spoiler.
I won't spoil it. But for me, that was there were definite elements of like monster movie.
Yeah.
To me, the debris field was like Jaws.
Yeah.
It was this unstoppable force that just keeps swimming and devouring everything in its wake.
It's
you know?
Like
and teeth. There was a person
got like a teeth
trying to make it back to the you know the safe shore, what have you.
Is there a monster in Gravity?
No.
No, there's not. But there were definite elements.
There's one in Sunshine, right?
I mean, I would call that. Sunshine, there's
this like crazy like Freddy Krueger type dude who's called like Pinbacker, who is like he's now crazy and he's like exposed to the sun for all these years.
What a piece of shit. So guys, what do you I'm trying to try to categorize the future of horror movies here.
Okay.
Right.
And I feel like there's two general categories we can talk about. It's like the subject matter.
Yeah.
And there's like the style and presentation.
Right.
So let's break it up. Let's do it by that unless you guys think there's better categories.
I mean, subject matter, I mean, I think it'd be interesting, especially that this week with like the government shutdown and stuff. I mean, like a lot of like the great horror movies in the 70s more like reflecting on things like the government and political,
a lot of paranoia,
social, yeah. So like it'd be interesting because, not that I think you need them for a horror movie, but I have noticed that there aren't as many horror movies anymore that sort of have that social commentary built in. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a couple of like post 9/11 type ones, mm-hmm. like the Crazies remake, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But like, I think, you know, stuff like that. I think that could be used as the backdrop for certain horror movies, but obviously it's too new to see. Mm-hmm. But I would be interested in seeing more return to that, you know, because like what made those movies so great is that they worked as they should. Like I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, probably 10 times when I was a kid, and I loved it. It wasn't until I got older that I was like, oh, this is commenting on stuff. Like, this is commenting on like post-Vietnam living and stuff.
Right.
So I think that the key is to make sure that the movie still works no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way it could be timeless, but you know I don't want them to be afraid to reflect on the times.
Right.
And I think they kind of are, or they just feel like that they won't really play well. I mean, I don't know. But like, you know, like Paranormal Activity doesn't say anything. You know, it's a great horror movie, but like it's not commenting on anything.
Well, it says don't use a Ouija board.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It's definitely an anti Ouija board movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I just what you said at the end there was all about the studios trying to decide what's going to play well.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about, I mean, movies being released theatrically, because we are seeing a new trend in how media is being distributed. So when you're talking about horror films experiencing like a wide theatrical release, it's right now sort of like a lowest common denominator. Mm. What do we know is guaranteed to play to a mall audience? So you're not just knowing the audience today, kids and their whole MTV style, quick cuts, you know, what have you. They just sort of want slash them ups, what have you.
Yeah.
They're not really looking to digest some sort of interesting social commentary.
But there's still, what are we scared of now versus what we were scared of 10 years ago versus what we're scared of 10 years from now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are we, like you're talking about home invasion, like clearly that's speaking to a fear that we have now that is maybe more prevalent than was than there were 10 years ago. And so what do you guys think we're going to be scared of the most?
See, I don't think that that's a thing we're more scared of now.
Really?
I think that's just a product of the business. There was, I can't trace it back to which home invasion horror sort of rekindled this this boom.
Strangers.
But I'm sure there was, you probably
Strangers.
Know. Yeah probably Strangers did really well for Universal, I believe it was, in the box office, and everyone else said, hey, you know, cash in. I don't necessarily believe that that's a thing people are uniquely afraid of right now.
Anything to do with the 500% increase in home invasions last year?
I don't know anything about that. Is that a thing? Well,
no,
sure.
No, I just made that up. But, but what do you like? What, you don't think there's anything like you don't think there's any sort of reflection of what society as a whole is scared of in our horror movies? Like when you look at like The Day the Earth Stood Still, even like
I think they're
idea of invaders.
No, I definitely think so. I don't know if those are also there's definitely some overlap if you were to look
did
at a
really
Venn diagram.
Did you really believe the home invasion thing there for a second?
No, I don't know. You know, you look at some strange statistics. That sounded a little unbelievable, but I would believe you if you told me it were a thing. I feel like the people who are, I don't know, maybe perhaps most afraid about what's going on out there and a distrust in their government officials and, you know, a fear of sort of irrational fears and maybe what the rich elite are out to get people and whatnot. Those are the people who probably aren't going to the movies.
They
probably can't afford it more than anything else.
But I think the other thing, too, is that now that, you know, you're talking about like irrational fears, like we can't really get that anymore. Like, I don't think we could ever have like another Red Scare, you know what I mean? Because it would be too easy to be like, No. Like
I checked Twitter. Everything's fine.
Yeah, you've had cameras on me in some form or other.
Right.
Like every time I walk down the street, I'm filmed 20 times. Like you don't think you would have some proof that I'm a communist or whatever, you know, the thing. So I think that is going to affect the fact that we're not going to have as many like social conscious horror movies anymore. It's just the fact that, you know, I mean, even on a basic level, it's like getting harder to like make a certain type of horror movies because of technology. Like, you know, you can't do the like, oh, you know, our we got a flat tire and we're now out in the middle of nowhere and we have to go to this creepy house for help type thing. Like, those movies take a lot of suspension of disbelief now, because now it's like, yeah, AAA, like, you know, beep, beep, I have the app, like, you know exactly where I am, come help me out, you know? I mean, there's only so many times you can watch a horror movie, like, oh, I don't have a signal, you know? And it's just like, like, really? You don't have a signal? Like, come on.
So there's some scary stuff
coming. When's last time you didn't have a signal?
I feel like there's some scary stuff coming up. I actually think, not to take this back to body horror, as we know.
No, but go ahead. But that's your thing, so why not?
Yeah, I like body horror.
But, you know, like, we have GMOs, like genetically modified crops coming down the pipe. We have the first peachy disc-grown burger coming down, so we have the fake meat thing, which I guarantee you there's going to be a fake meat horror movie.
I hope so.
That'd be great.
You know, you got the Soylent Green thing going on. And then eventually teleportation, which I guess The Fly kind of touched, but once we actually get real teleportation. But I really do think, like, the Petri dish burger and what that actually does to us and the whole just what we eat is, like, the next big thing. Followed by terrorism and urban warfare, but that might be a little too serious for horror movies. And also super viruses, because those are coming down the pipe. Antibiotics, not really working anymore. So we're probably going to get another one of those pretty soon.
I actually have seen more body horror movies of late. And I don't know, it's just because, like, kids that grew up at Cronenberg and now old enough to stop making, including Cronenberg's own kid. But yeah, I've noticed there's been like three or four like recently, which is like more than three or four more than usual.
I mean, I think we're ready for our bodies not to be our bodies anymore. Some people are not going to like that. Also, I wrote down, I don't know what I was thinking a few minutes ago, but Mime Clown Circus Dance was what I wrote.
Stream of consciousness.
Maybe that's the thing we should be concerned about, the old Mime Clown Circus Dance.
I know I've lived in fear of it every day.
Circus dance, of course. How do you guys feel about the other mediums? Because we're always talking about traditional movies. Do you think we'll ever see like a, I guess Gravity might fall into this, but the IMAX 3D horror movie?
I think
there's money to be made, absolutely.
I really wish that there was like a modern William Castle kind of guy that would like do these gimmicks and really embrace them. And I think
Jason Blum is kind of close. He's sort of taking up the torch.
You mean Blumhouse guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not doing like...
You mean just the horror movie? Like the horror haunted houses?
Not the haunted houses. I mean, he's the haunted house is just sort of a tertiary thing that he's doing now, but he is the closest we have to a modern day William Castle.
How come? What does he do?
He's produced...
But does he do the gimmicks?
That's the thing. Well, that's what I was going to say. No, we don't have anyone who's putting like the vibrating tinglers under the chairs.
But you are seeing like, you know, like the sort of like the online, like the, what do you call them? The interactive, you know, like the fake games that they do. Like,
there's definitely like viral marketing. There's definitely like flash videos and stuff that spook you.
I saw one earlier today. Did you see the Carrie one? The Carrie remake, which is...
Yeah. Is there like a promotional thing going around?
There's a promotional video that went quote-unquote viral where they have a...
Spooktacular? By the way, when I say spooktacular, really. if we can somehow have... Is it spooktacular?
We'll do copied the, we'll and do paste the wolf.
It throughout.
Yeah. We'll do the wolf.
But when I say spooktacular, if it can go... like... If that's not copyrighted, that'd be good. Just saying. Also, if this could be the spooktacular edition, that'd be good too. If we had that at the beginning and ends as well. Sorry, you were saying
whatever you want, Logan.
Yeah, thanks, Des. What were you saying?
I don't remember.
We're talking about
some spooktacular viral video for the Carrie. Yeah. But the point was, I mean, we're seeing little things like that. Now we have 3D IMAX. We have Dolby Atmos, which is the format I screened Gravity in, which was incredible, by the way. I think to pull people off of their couch and into the cinemas, spend $20 on a ticket, the cinemas are going to have to rely on weird things like smell-o-vision and what have you.
I'm surprised we haven't seen like a Kinect horror experience yet. Like Kinect with your Xbox, like
Those Paranormal Activity 4.
What
they used a Kinect in Paranormal Activity 4.
In what way?
I don't know if this is true because I don't have a Kinect. And apparently, the way it tracks everything is it sends out infrared, the green.
It does.
Infragreen? I don't know.
And it's infrared.
But if you shut off all the lights, you can see the dots.
It's true.
And what they did was that they had the ghost, like they shut the lights off, and you'd see the ghost kind of walking around.
Oh, that's fun.
And it would be tracked by just the dots being displaced.
That's fun.
You're talking in real life or in their movie?
In the movie, yeah.
Okay, I meant like, can I like sit like? Oh. I'm surprised there's no like horror experiences that involve my Kinect.
Oh well, you know there's a game, The Move, which is the same thing basically, right? For PlayStation, there's a slasher movie game coming out, and I'm blanking on the name right now. I want to say Until Dawn, but I think that's a different one. But it's like a old school like Cabin in the Woods, Friday the 13th type slasher, and like you use the move and you could die, and if you die then it just goes to another character
like
a slasher movie would. So
that's great.
Yeah, so that sounds kind of awesome. But I mean, there's definitely I think that you'll see stuff like the William Castle thing we're talking about. I think you more likely see it with games and stuff. I don't think a floating skeleton. Yeah. Would really draw people in.
Yeah, it's not going to cut it.
Nowadays, nor is there really anything equivalent that they could do. I mean, there's 4D, which is like, but it's mostly for kids' movies, like Nightmare Before Christmas, where like they blow like fog into the theater and you can like smell cinnamon or something.
I think you have to go the blackout route of like, let's take this to the extreme, like rat traps crush your fingers at the intermission or something.
So the threat of real danger.
Real danger. Real
I still haven't done blackout. I really want to.
Yeah. No,
we should do it this year.
We're going to face our fears this year. No. This is going to be the month.
Nice.
The month.
All right.
So, and then also, actually I have a friend who just did this. They're doing a horror game where they have biofeedback with a heart rate monitor. Oh, and okay. So the thing is, the more your heart rate increases, the scarier it gets. So you're trying to like cool yourself down. So, anyway, Alex, how are we doing on time, dude?
We got about 10, 15 minutes left.
Okay. Let's see what else I got here.
Let's go back to the killer mime
clown dance.
Killer mime clowns.
What is that?
So, well, I'm you know, like, it's interesting that I write that down, and I always kind of scoff
at
it.
It is interesting that
no one
you write
was talking
down
about clowns.
Well, it's like, the, you know, like, yeah, everybody's in the scary circus and dark carnival for Insane Clown Posse. Oh, yeah. What do you think it is about clowns that make them so scary? And is do you think there'll be clowns in the future?
I hope not.
I don't know. They're not going anywhere. Why would they?
Do people still go to like the does it still have like the Ringling Brothers?
I think so. Yeah.
Is that still?
I
can't remember the last time I saw an ad for the circus.
No. Yeah,
they're still around. People try to fight them because of the whole like beating their animals thing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if clowns are going to. Clowns will persist. Yeah. Like clowns aren't going anywhere. I think the real question is clowns in face makeup versus fleshy clowns. Like just standard flesh-colored clowns just clowning around. Like, if that's a thing. And I don't know yet. They're going to be definitely horrifying if we get flesh clowns.
Just guys. Just creepy guys.
Yeah, and the more I think
about
it. It would
be great for horror movie because they wouldn't have to spend any money on the makeup.
Well, no, because when I think flesh clowns, I think the exaggerated features of a clown, but all flesh
clowns. Did you make that up? Did you coin that? Flesh clowns? Is that a thing, or did you coin that?
I coined it. I will.
I'm Googling that right now.
Gladly.
Flesh clowns.
Flesh clowns.
That sounds like some shit you'd make up.
Yeah, I would gladly watch a movie called Flesh Clowns.
That's, I'm horrified.
And it, like, the tagline could just be the fleshiest of clowns.
Flesh clowns.
Flesho.
The fleshiest
flesho
of clowns.
Flesho. Flesho the clown.
That sounds horrifying.
Yes, that's horrifying. Alex,
wait,
I
got something called Flesh Pound, Killing Floor Wiki. This skin was dubbed the flesh clown, but I mean, this sounds like this has to be some sort of Warcraft type shit.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's something from the Midwest.
Yeah.
And on that, on that note, everybody, I think we're going to call a little bit earlier tonight. Maybe this is an hour long after we throw in all the advertisements for flesh clowns.
Oh, we're chock full of them tonight. Yeah,
yeah, lots of flesh clowns sponsoring the podcast. Mm-hmm. But Brian, thanks for your time, dude.
Oh no, thank you, appreciate it.
And thanks, Des, for filling in.
Yeah, no. Hey, anytime.
And thanks, guys, who are recording this. And thank you for listening to this, you guys.
Hey, you know, actually, if I could chime in,
plug something.
Well, no, I want Brian to plug his screening. I know you were just talking about this on the podcast, but if there are people listening to this that don't listen to Face Rocker,
if you like the Halloween series and you're in the spirit this season, I'm screening a 35mm print of the classic Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, at the New Beverly Cinema in Los Angeles on October 26th, which is a Saturday, at 11:59 p.m.
Tickets. Do Des and I get free? Do we get free tickets?
You guys?
I already bought one.
He bought one. He was the one that bought one.
Can you buy me one for free?
I mean, I have to. I'll buy it, but it won't be for free.
Can I get
company card?
All right.
You're asking me for a ticket. I'll get you one. Ask Brian. Don't ask me.
Stick me up, Des.
I'll put you on the list.
Have Brian put you on the list.
I'll put you on the list.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're good.
I would ask to be put on the list, too, but I don't want to retract the one ticket sale you have.
I kind of want Des to just buy it for me. Just see how much he cares.
I'll buy a few. I haven't been in the New Beverly in a while. That's my favorite theater in LA.
If you pay, I will gladly go with you if you pay for my ticket
for Halloween 666. You got it.
We just doubled our audience. I'm sorry, I just realized I'm actually out of town that week.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Okay, everybody, have a spooktacular day, whatever this is that comes out, and to the future, everybody.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.